This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, Jack enjoys some acoustic sound at an evil rave. I did not make that joke, the show did. Welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, the podcast where two real friends watch a program broadcast on Toonami and try to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're covering the third season of Samurai Jack, episodes 27 through 39. So, we've been watching the show on AdultSwim.com, and it is quite convenient because, as we mentioned before, it's free. They have every single episode. However, something that I wasn't aware of until somewhat recently is that...
2 minutes ago?
Yeah, sure. Is that I believe their episode listing is slightly wrong based on the episode listing from Wikipedia. So basically, AdultSwim.com has 14 episodes in this season and 12 in the next season, whereas on Wikipedia, which I imagine is based on the DVD releases, has 13 in every season. So That's a little strange. And then the other thing is that these episodes do actually have titles, like not just Roman numerals.
Two of them do.
No, like all of them have an alternate title. Yeah. But it's not listed on Adult Swim. So I didn't know that. I've taken the liberty of adding the titles to, the episodes that we're talking about this week, but frankly, pretty much all of them are very straightforward, like Jack and the blank. So, you know, it's not like you're really missing much by not seeing the titles. I just found it's kind of strange. Yeah, pretty much the one with the annoying creature, for example. So of course, once again, because the show is pretty, non-linear, or at least, you know, non-continuous, we have the synopsis as Jack continues his adventures again.
Yep, pretty much.
Well, what we do get though this season is a two-part Aku backstory episode, which we'll talk about more in depth, but essentially Aku is like part of some evil mass that's destroyed by a bunch of gods.
Somewhere in the cosmos.
Yeah, right. And then it spiraled, like part of that mass that isn't destroyed spirals away, lands on Earth, killing all the dinosaurs.
Yeah. And then guess what? The Cretaceous extinction event was Aku.
Yeah, right. And it's not even a thing at this point. It's just like a weird, like spiky black trees and tar and whatnot grows,
spreading mass on the Earth.
Yeah, and then eventually, you know, the Emperor Jack's father leads a fight against him, and etc. We'll talk about it later, but there is actually there's some plot stuff in this that's not just, you know, the standard Jack rides a train and is attacked by two bounty hunters who, for some reason, say the South will rise again. in one of the weirdest offhand lines of dialogue.
And that was a pretty good episode. Really weird microsecond of dialogue, though.
Yeah, right. I mean,
it's like, that's a phrase that I would say hasn't aged well.
Well, it's not.
Or never did.
Okay, it's not that, like, I kind of get what they're going for. It's just, for me, like, it doesn't make much sense for a character to say that in, you know, this far distant future.
Yeah.
Like, what is she talking about? But whatever. I mean, yeah, that is a good episode. That is a little weird. But, of course, there are a lot of good episodes in Samurai Jack, and every once in a while, one that's not so good. But I think that's as good a reason as any to get into our Zeniths and Nadirs.
All right, you start this one out.
Yeah, right. So mine was episode 9 or 35 or Jack in the Haunted House.
Wow, this is not confusing.
Yeah, I mean, it's all the same thing. It's episode 9 of this season, 35 overall. And it has the alternate title. So this episode, as you might expect, is essentially like a horror episode. I feel like there are actually a few of those in this block, which I kind of liked. In this one in particular, Jack, you know, finds a crying girl in the woods with a stuffed animal. She runs away, drops the stuffed animal. He picks it up, follows her into this creepy old house where he just has these like weird flashes in a totally different animation style of something that went on in this house at some point. He eventually finds the girl and then finds that they're both like bricked into the house. They can't escape. He wakes up and finds the girl and her whole family just normal in this one room in the house that's normal.
This one pristine room.
Right. And has tea with them. And then they all start puking out this like demon.
It's crazy. Which the whole family like starts to twitch a little and then like convulse and then just start spewing out blackness.
Yeah, except the girl who fortunately does not creepily convulse and then vomit. But so this demon comes out. We get sort of a mini flashback as to, you know, what caused this all to happen, but it's still pretty sketchy. And then
we see basically like the whole version of like the little snippets Jack's been like seeing in flashes in his head.
Yeah, right. The demon seems to like take Jack's soul, and then Jack kind of fights this demon in, I guess, this soul world, which is rendered in the like, you know, brush painting style.
Yeah, of Sumi-e style of Japanese like inking. But animated, kind of like the game Okami, if you've played that, is like all in that style.
But anyway,
I say that loosely, but yeah.
Well, sure, right. But it's a really similar influence. Cool. So basically, this episode for me was just a thing where I realized very early on that it was probably going to be my favorite episode of the season. And then the Spirit World fight started. And I was like, God, this is awesome. This is like, you know, this is hitting all of my buttons pretty much. It's a horror episode. It's also an episode that uses an alternate animation style, which I've obviously talked about liking before. It works really well. It's stylish and well done for a like horror episode for kids, basically. It's still pretty creepy. Totally horrifying, I guess.
It's quite effective. It's the moment, especially the moment where they're having such a peaceful conversation with the family, and you think like, well, maybe he's solved it, like maybe this is the end, or there's like a little mystery here he has to help the family out. But you never expect the family members to start convulsing and vomiting. Like it's so like it just starts like subtle and weird and just gets insane in a way that really tickled me.
This is
definitely up there in like the top episodes of the series for
sure. I would say that this is probably my favorite episode of the series. I don't think that there's much else that I would necessarily have contend with it. But what about you? I think you're going to talk about The Birth of Aku.
It's right, The Birth of Evil Part 2. Part 1, actually. I'm going to kind of talk about both of them.
Well, yeah.
I really love this two-parter. The first two-parter we've ever had, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, unless you count the like three-part opening of the show. But
sure. It's just like, I love Aku's like cosmic and godlike origins. And like you see like these gods chasing after this crazy crawling chaos in space and cutting it to pieces, and you know, this one little piece heals itself and just happens to land on Earth. It's just, I love this like huge history of Aku that was never explored before. And then just that he lands and is like this evil tar mass that slowly creeps over the Earth, making these spikes, like these black spike trees come out. Until eventually they reach, like, I don't know, I guess they reach, like, Japan.
Yeah, somewhere in Japan.
Yeah.
Wherever Jack is from, basically.
And from there, you get, like, this, the emperor, Jack's father, goes in and, with a bunch of men, and they all just get slaughtered, and he's, like, the last one left. He tries to fight Aku.
Tries to destroy the thing using, like, some potion that he was given.
And he, like, inadvertently kind of creates the monster Aku.
Yeah,
like
right.
The actual sentient form.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He frees Aku from this weird tar pit, basically.
And Aku, like, makes this horrific, like, giant tree raise out of the ground, and or he sucks him into the tar and then raises this tree in the ground, basically with the Emperor crucified to it, and forces him to watch as he just destroys his town. And, you know, we get, like, this magical horse comes down and saves him.
Right.
And
magical
with, like, eight-legged legs,
horse. Yeah, right.
Gigantic horse. Takes him to, like, this domain of the gods where they, you know, forge him the magic sword and give him, like, basically the armor from Ronin Warriors.
Yeah, right, him, the, like, white armor, which...
The white armor from Ronin Warriors.
Hadn't thought about
exactly that
shit for quite a while. Yeah.
And the Nimbus from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, right, he has a little cloud to ride on.
So he flies in, and then he has this fucking insane battle with Aku. Like, it was really cool. You kind of think, like, at this point, you've seen all they can do with fighting Aku. Because we've seen probably Aku fights, like, four times by now. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's just, like, I guess that's the real benefit of having a shapeshifter ultimate villain.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You could do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly, it can be anything.
And so in this one, it's, like, such a drawn-out battle, and he's, like, holding it, fighting him back a bit, and then Aku just, like, takes the form of hundreds of soldiers.
Right.
All with his face, and all laughing at him at once. And it's just, like, you know, the new fancy armor gets knocked off. It's not, it's by no means, like, a guaranteed sure kill of a fight.
Mm-hmm, right. Unlike Ronin Warriors, for example.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, you get the new armor, now you're the best. You win. It's just, like, no, you barely survive. Yeah,
roll the stock footage.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So, just, like, in terms of scope of this whole episode, like, historical scope of it, I really loved, and the combat was just pretty much second to none for the series.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I personally, my favorite part of this episode is just the fact that for pretty much, I think, almost the entire first episode of this two-parter, Aku isn't even, like, a thing. Like,
yeah,
it's not an entity. It's just this weird, like, corruption on the world. And
you
that's carried off really well.
You watch time, like, huge amounts of time pass over as, you know, the early humans in the Ice Age, like, encounter the and get sucked up and die. And just, like, it's cool just seeing, like, all of this historical context to Aku.
Yeah,
what
absolutely.
Was your least favorite episode?
Yeah, so as usual, there were not a ton of options for, you know, necessarily bad episodes this season.
Yeah.
And I've noticed a trend, which is that I tend to not like the, like, early episodes of the season that much, and I'm not sure why that is. Like, I'm not sure if it's just that it takes me some time to get into it, or something, but at any rate, this is episode one of this of season three, episode 27 overall, titled Chicken Jack, where Jack accidentally bumps into a wizard who turns Jack into a chicken, and then that's it, basically. Like, Jack's a chicken,
yeah.
trying to get back to the wizard to get changed back into a man. But instead, he's captured by some random, like, Italian man who starts pitting him against other animals in basically cockfights. except the other animals are, like, you know, robo-bugs or whatever the fuck. And, you know, Jack just stomps the crap out of everything because it's Jack, even if he is a chicken.
Yeah. This episode is interesting, too. It was funnier than most episodes.
Yeah, sure.
But it was, honestly, this was my nadir too. And I'll talk about another episode, but this is, like, pretty much the only one I can consider from this block to actually be a nadir. And it's not that bad, but
yeah, I mean,
I feel like it relies a lot on Jack fighting as a chicken, and it's, like,
which is
okay, funny,
it's,
like,
for
funny
a little
for
bit.
A,
yeah,
it's funny for a little bit, and then, like, the fighting is kind of boring
because he's just kicking stuff. It's not like
he can
do much of anything.
That's it.
Really, my problem with this episode is just that the design for the, like, cranky wizard who's such an asshole that when Jack bumps into him, he turns him into a chicken. is pretty cool, but he's barely in it. And in the end, the way that Jack gets turned back into a human is that his Italian owner bumps into the same wizard. So the wizard transforms his owner into a chicken. For some reason, this transforms Jack back into a man, which I guess means that the wizard can only have one person as a chicken at a time or something. But
yeah.
But like, so much of the episode is occupied with this like monster fight stuff or animal fight stuff or whatever you want to call it. And then the end just comes out of nowhere, and it very much feels like they're just like, oh fuck, like how do we actually resolve this? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I just thought the ending was kind of lazy.
I feel like that's not super uncommon. Like, a lot of times you'll get really good episodes that the ending is just like pretty quick.
Well,
like, oh, the fight's over. Okay.
Yeah, but like, you see, the thing is, like, I don't mind if the ending is necessarily fast. I don't necessarily need a resolution for anything. But the thing is, if the point of this episode is Jack's a chicken and he needs to turn back into a man, which is kind of, you know, kind of is the point of it. The fact that he transforms back into a man by such coincidence, having done absolutely nothing to achieve that goal, just feels like, it just feels pointless to me.
I guess I enjoyed, I liked the ending, actually. I liked that the guy just happens to run into the same wizard again.
Sure.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, this episode also has, you know, its moments of humor. In particular, I like that after Jack is captured as a chicken and being brought into this seedy underworld, he is driven past all these signs that are like the classic, like, you know, girls, girls, girls signs in neon.
Right, yeah.
But they're all really family friendly things.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty funny joke. But
there's also a street vendor selling hot cats, which is pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Instead of hot dogs. Right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that joke.
Some of the background aliens in this episode are also fucking wild.
Well, yeah, of course. They're always crazy.
This one, though, like, there's an alien who's just like a man with a normal face, but his nose is a light bulb and his head is a toaster with toast coming out of it. It's like, all right.
is this the episode where there's like a Christmas tree man as well?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, at the very least, you can look into the like crowd shots and see some crazy stuff.
That's something this show does really well. Like, they don't fuck around on crowd shots. They don't just like duplicate a bunch of shit. They make a bunch of weird, unique aliens for the background.
Yeah. What was your least favorite? I mean, this one was Ish. Obviously, but what was your other choice, I guess?
Mine was Jack and the Scarab, episode 5 or episode 31. This was an episode in which it starts with a flashback to Kid Jack, which I usually, well, I do. I like when they have like, they do a story set up in the past and then mm-hmm. follow up on it somehow in the future. In this case, little Jack was hanging out with some precocious kids and got in trouble in the ancient Egyptian pyramids and like found a hidden tomb. And in the future, Jack happens to find the same pyramid somehow.
Or, well,
that's like
Aku
still
does.
Standing.
And he like releases the dudes from the
Jack's
prison.
In the same area.
Yeah, and then Jack shows up basically. But
and yeah, so he releases Set's minions, like these not the minions you know and love, but
if only
that'd be terrible. But these jackal headed, like ripped monsters that just chase him and are pretty much indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. The whole episode is Jack running and basically like trying to solve a missed puzzle while being chased by the cops. Like he's just like collecting pieces of the scarab and putting it together while running and always running.
Yeah,
never seeming to get away.
And it's basically, yeah, a scavenger hunt where it's like,
yeah,
he gets a piece and then it's like, oh, here's the clue to the next piece, and then he has to think about it. Meanwhile, he's being chased down by these giant monsters that he can't kill.
Yeah, and I was not super interested in the puzzle. It just seemed kind of basic, like, oh, you climb up a thing and you grab the scarab.
Yeah, all right, pretty you're good. Much.
Go find the other one. It's almost like a Legends of the Hidden Temple. He's got to assemble the Iron Monkey.
Yeah, he's
got to
climb up something's nose or some shit.
It really, that is Legends of the Hidden Temple, because they had dudes chase you down in that show, too. That's a weird show.
All right, yeah, no, that's, so it's really more Jack and the Hidden Temple Although, than Jack and the Scarab.
I wish Legends of the Hidden Temple had, like, a god come down when you solve the puzzle and yeah. destroy the people who are chasing you. That would have been fucking awesome. Olmec just shoots lasers at these dudes. These poor interns. Yeah, this one, the part I did like the most was he summons Ra, who descends from the heavens and just like sets minions just like jump towards him, and he just fries them instantly.
Yeah, easily
with I-beams
destroys them
in a really cool way, and is just completely silent. And Jack's just like, "Do you know where a time portal is? Could you possibly maybe help me if I beseech you to help me, please?"
Yeah, then Ra just leaves. Like,
yeah, he just slowly just ascends again. It's like, no.
Without answering or even really acknowledging Jack. Yeah. Just
Ra's got a mission, and it has nothing to do with humans.
Yeah, except killing the minions of Set, I guess. But, you know, whatever.
Man. Yeah. What was your honorable mention?
Well, this would be episode 4 of this season. That's episode 30 overall. And the title is Jack and the Zombies. So in this episode, really,
of course.
Yeah, right. Well, it's another very horror-ish episode, which is cool.
Yeah.
But it's also super action-packed because essentially, you know, Jack goes into this graveyard. There's a bunch of zombies and he cuts them up and they explode into dust like Legend of Zelda villains. But then some like crazy witch steals his sword and gives it to Aku. So most of this episode is Aku just in this, you know, like combat ready form, chasing down Jack using Jack's own sword to try to kill him, which is great because Jack's basically defenseless against it. Eventually, Aku manages to capture Jack, like holds him down and stabs him with the sword, but magic, because the sword can't hurt Jack because Jack is pure of spirit and the sword is, you know, magical, so it doesn't work. Which
Aku even has a moment where he stabs his pecs and it just like ching, like deflects, and he just keeps doing it over and over again. Right. It's like, why would it work?
Exactly. Like, I, you know, there is part of me that feels like it's a little bit of an asshole to be like, oh, but he can't be hurt by his sword. But Aku's reaction to it sells it for me because after, you know, stabbing him and nothing happens, it cuts to a reaction shot of Aku where his eye flames go out in surprise.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing.
Perfect disappointment.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, like trying to repeatedly stab Jack, even though it's not going to work, is similarly quite funny.
This episode was one of the most, like, fucking action-packed episodes. It's just fighting and, like, just tons of skeletons on Jack.
Yeah, pretty much.
Until the very end when Jack is, like, has to run and run and run and run while Aku's using, like, basically everything's power. But I think my favorite part is, like, Aku resorts to turning into just, like, a black massive tendrils that just chases him through
the
graveyard.
Oh, yeah, that are just, like, flowing
it's almost like
through
a
the
mist.
Graveyard. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it just, like, goes between all the graves and, like, seeps through and grabs Jack. And that's how he, like, gets the final,
The final
manages
blow.
To try and get that final hit.
In theory, anyway.
Yeah. That was a great episode, though.
Yeah, no, it's super fun. And then, of course, you know, Jack beats the shit out of Aku once he gets his sword back. And Aku kind of scurries away as, like, a rat or something.
Yeah. My honorable mention was episode 6, a.k.a. 32. A.K.A. Jack and the Traveling Creatures, which is a weird name for this episode.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a classic questing episode for Jack. He's going through all these like strange lands, meeting all these strange giant creatures who like talk to him and think he's some prophesied one to enter a time portal. And like about half of the episode or more is him on the way there and like getting through these little trials and tribulations
and being transferred from creature to creature, basically.
Yeah. Yep. from weird creature to weird creature who
to
have
a pterodactyl,
different ways to,
which is like to a very normal looking compared to the other two indescribable monsters.
Strangely, this episode ends in what looks like a super robot graveyard, like just like bunches of pieces of giant robots. And Jack wanders through and finds this big glowing time portal, and it's like, fuck yeah, time to go. But this guy just comes out and is he's like the guardian of the portal, and he's like, no, I'm not gonna let you through. And because he's like, you know, the one who's ready will get through, and you're not the one.
Yeah, basically, the one who beats me is the prophesied one. Yeah. So,
and I love that this like mighty portal guardian is basically just like a bouncer. Like, he's just like a blue dude who's really big and has like a leather jacket.
He literally is a bouncer for, well, not literally, of course, but yes, he is a bouncer for the time portal.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and he's just like kind of talks shit to Jack, and they fight, and he fucking kills Jack. Yeah. He beats Jack, though. It's like a big, pretty awesome fight where he pulls all this unique weaponry between like another samurai sword to like dual machine guns on Jack.
Yeah, right.
And like a weird like little spear. And eventually, like, what we learn is that Jack is knocked out, and he's like about to do the finishing blow, and the portal like kind of flashes at him, and he's like, oh, okay. And he calls down the dragon, and the dragon takes him away, and it's revealed that it's like, you were the one, Jack, just not yet.
Right.
And we see in the portal an old Jack with like a flowing beard and a crown and like a cool red cape. It looked really cool and unique. Yeah. And then that's where the episode ends. And I really enjoyed that, like that twist, and I'm curious if that is followed up on in season 5.
I would be a little surprised if it's not, to be honest, just based on this show, but who knows?
You know, they could find some way to retcon something, or I don't know. But yeah, that was another fantastic episode. Just another good one to round out this whole block.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get to our break. When we get back, we will talk a little bit about the season overall, our thoughts on it. And then we'll talk about the bet and the final bet for Samurai Jack.
That's it. The quest of the Cagliostro. My quest has finally ended.
Samurai Jack will return in a moment. Everyone, it's Michael, jumping in to give you information you might already know. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Divin', and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys, both by Onatech. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode, where we cover the fourth season of Samurai Jack, will release December 19th, and next week, catch a minisode where we discuss Fist of the North Star, the movie. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our minisodes via DM on Facebook.com/HPPod, Twitter @HPPod, or our email, hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
You! Thank you! No! My intention was to destroy you!
And now, back to Samurai Jack. We're back. Let's talk a little bit about season 3. Now, much like some of the shows that we've watched in the past, the show is, I would say, consistent to the point where I feel like I have to come up with things to say about it to an extent.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it is like it's almost frustrating in that respect. The show is really good, but it's also like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's not a ton of, I guess, variety in like what happens within episodes. And there isn't really like a plot to talk about either, because it's pretty much just Jack going around doing stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, these aren't necessarily bad things. But it
is a very atmospheric show too.
Right. But it is a thing that, you know, thinking about it before recording, I'm like, I don't really have much to say that I haven't said a bunch of times already. Like, it's beautiful. The animation's great. The fights are cool.
let's praise it more, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that I would bring up one thing specifically about this season that I noticed. And then I want to talk a little bit about the Aku backstory stuff. Just thoughts on it generally, because I don't know. It's a topic, and it is actually plot stuff that happened. So, one thing I did notice, and it was incidentally during the horror episode that I called my Zenith, is that, as we've talked about in the past, this show has a lot of moments that are just kind of silent Jack walking through a thing, and it doesn't feel like it's wasting time. Necessarily. Yeah. And, you know, we compared it to Dragon Ball Z, I think, in the first episode where we covered the show. And I realized another thing about it that helps a lot that I hadn't really noticed before, which is that the soundscape, whenever it's these silent moments, is so deep and thought out in a way that, honestly, I feel like I just don't see in animation pretty much ever. Like,
it's true. You get the rustling of leaves and like crickets and shit.
Yeah, and creaking tree branches in the wind. Like,
yeah,
there's just so much there, and I feel like
it's part of what makes it seem like, oh, well, they're not buying time by having Jack walk slowly through the woods.
Yeah,
like,
right. Exactly.
It's still part of the immersion for sure.
Yeah, and it's building atmosphere and whatnot. Whereas in, you know, not to continuously bag on Dragon Ball Z, but, you know, in Dragon Ball Z, it would be a slow pan over an environment where nothing's happening. There's no sound effects with, like, some music just kind of playing to kill time. I feel like a lot of the time animation, unfortunately, works on this sort of, like, basis of if you can see it, you can hear it, but if you can't, then let's not really bother necessarily. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not like this is an easy thing to do to like think through that soundscape and what it should all be, but I think that that's one of the things that personally elevates an animated work for me beyond, I guess, their contemporaries, is that kind of attention to detail, even in something like sound design. Like, obviously great animation is awesome, but when you have something that also has this extra touch of feeling real just by the audio, I think that's really what elevates a show like Samurai Jack, above
Amuro Jack.
Yeah, right. Oh, if only Jack was a new type, piloted a Gundam.
Much. Yeah. I wouldn't put it past the show to have like Jack piloting a thing eventually.
Yeah, this season did have a DJ mech, so who knows?
That's true.
Maybe Jack will get a giant robot at some point. We can only hope. That's my thoughts on this season. I'm curious if you have any specific thoughts or
I just think like the fact that the show has remained consistent this far is really impressive. Like, obviously the show has been really impressive, but like a lot of times you hear about shows that's just like, it starts and it's like, oh, this is really cool, really great quality, awesome first episode. And then it's like, okay. And then we kind of dip into kind of a valley of standard quality.
Yeah. Right. Or, you know, you start noticing animation errors. Like when we watched Street Sharks back when it was on Netflix in college.
Yeah.
And you know, at first it seems like it's okay, and then it slowly becomes completely terrible.
Or that one episode of Johnny Quest that just had like nightmarish
errors. Right, the swamp.
They kept in like this one frame of like a picture of the storyboard or something.
Something
like, what the
unidentifiable
fuck? Like, how
that
did I
looks
even
like
see
an
this?
Album cover.
But
there's like, none of that. It's it all
and
looks
it's,
just
it's
as
to
good.
The point where it's to the point where it's become like a joke now. Anytime we spot something or complain about something that's very minor, we just go, it's like, oh, okay. It's like, I think that doesn't, like, I don't know how Jack would, like, go between ancient Egypt and like Robin
feudal
Hood
Japan
and feudal Japan. Like, how did he do that as a little kid? And then,
this show sucks.
And then one of us will say, this show sucks. This show sucks ass.
Like, yeah, all of the complaints about this show are such like minor nitpicky things.
Yeah.
For the most part, that it just, yeah, no.
They just can't hurt the show, really.
Exactly. It's a great show. We've said it so many times. We'll continue saying it. But I do want to talk a little bit about Aku's backstory.
Okay.
Just because I thought that the episodes were very good, and I'm happy to have something more like story focused in the show. However, I also kind of felt like I didn't really need to know Aku's backstory at all, to be honest. Which is like, there was a point where I was considering labeling those episodes as my least favorites, just because even though they're great episodes, I felt like they were a little superfluous because, I don't know, like, I kind of like Aku as just this, you know, unknown entity.
He's still, I feel like he's still, like, unknown. You don't know the nature of that cosmic beast they were fighting, necessarily. And it's not just the backstory of Aku, it's also the backstory of the sword and of Jack's father.
Yeah,
and
that's
his
true.
Original battle, and like that was something that was a loose thread they left a long time ago that I've been curious about. So I'm happy to at least learn about like the sword and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you mean. Like I get like Aku didn't need a backstory, really.
Right, and
like, he's just an evil monster and he's fun that way.
Yeah, and the other thing too is like just the I guess part of why I found it a little strange is because it's much more, like you said, it's like a godlike origin. And for the most part, with the exception of Ra appearing for like 12 seconds and then bouncing, the show doesn't really get into any kind of, I guess, theology kind of stuff. Like that makes it sound like I'm upset that it's talking about religion, which is ridiculous. But one thing that's really interesting about this show to me that, you know, is unique because usually I really like shows that have this like crazy backstory and mythology that you can really dig into. Mm-hmm. And Samurai Jack kind of doesn't, but it still works so well just on an individual basis.
Yeah.
And this is adding more of a mythology behind the sword and behind Aku and like, you know, these gods fighting each other basically, which is all cool, but it does feel kind of counter to some of the rest of the show. In a way, maybe.
Here's what I'm thinking, and one thing I like about the backstory. So the gods mentioned directly to the emperor that like, oh, like we're not going to kill Aku for you. Like mm-hmm. that you have to beat him with this sword. This sword represents human spirit. Basically, humans
right.
have
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And that's a good sign to me. So they're not going to like rely on some dumb Deus Ex Machina in the future, hopefully. And they're going to keep like it seems like they're going to stay out of it. They're going to
sure, yeah.
And it's going to be more of like Jack's fight than anything else. And also, part of I get what you mean about Aku's backstory, like I just said, but I also like it just kind of helps build how like evil and foreboding he is to see mm-hmm. this like. Grand like kind of historical
since version the beginning of time him. Yeah
since before humans you know this mm-hmm. this evil has existed on Earth something about that makes him a bit more intimidating, which I like having it both ways, I guess, because I also like, you know, angry Aku punching his monitor when
Aku.
It's not
yeah
yeah like punching his monitor when he can't see Jack through it
yeah like it's a fucking TV yeah
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't think that they're going to necessarily move into a more mythology-based show or even a more continuous show. I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting topic because
yeah.
it does feel very different from the rest of the show to me. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because they do it really well. It just feels a little out of place. Maybe that's because it's the first two-parter, honestly.
It's a bit more similar to the first few episodes.
Right.
The only time you've had build up in terms of plot was mm-hmm. in the first three episodes until now. And it's might even be the last one that does that.
Well, I think there is another two-parter at some point.
I read the one sentence summary of it, which is like Jack beats a samurai punk boy who wants to be cool, and it's like that's a two-parter. I'm on board, but
really
okay
on the level for the villain's origin and the origin of the hero's power and everything. I think season 5 is quite a bit more continuous.
Sure.
From what I remember of
if they're looking to wrap up the overall story,
yeah, of course,
probably
yeah.
has to be on some level.
Of course, yeah. But yeah, I don't think it's a bad decision. I think those episodes turned out great. I just think it's kind of unusual, and mm-hmm. I am curious if we're going to see more stuff like that in the future, or if we're kind of going to go back to the more standard Jack versus Monster of the Week kind of stuff.
Yeah. So let's get to our bet. I don't know what I was thinking when I said I think two shirtless Jacks would happen.
Yeah.
Jack is shirtless all the fucking time.
actually, having counted it, there were only four episodes where he is shirtless and we agreed, like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, there's a couple like where Jack. It teases it a little.
Yeah, right.
There's one part where you see baby Jack,
basically.
There's some part where you see Jack is born, and you were like, if he's not wearing a shirt, it counts. And he was swaddled in cloth, and it's like, yes! Fuck you!
Yeah, but anyway, I won this bet, so...
Oh, yeah.
We have one of the slightly frustrating conundrums that comes up every once in a while, which is that, technically, if we only make one bet this week, and you win, we're tied. Which...
Okay.
I would prefer not to do. So maybe two bets just to, you know, guarantee that one of us wins for sure.
Two bets, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had trouble sometimes even following one.
I do.
Okay.
I think keeping it like Shirtless Jack, where it's something very noticeable.
Yeah.
And only on an episode by episode basis will help a lot. My suggestion for one of them is whenever Jack loses his top knot.
Okay.
Because that happens with some regularity to show how intense a battle is. I guess to have some clarification, like, it would be just Jack without his usual hairstyle. Like, he might still have the top knot a little bit, but there's hair coming out everywhere else.
His hair gets fucked up, is what
you mean. Right.
Episodes in which Jack gets his hair fucked up. I agree with that. My suggestion for the other one is how many times does Jack miss out on a time portal? Which happens... How many episodes in the block does Jack miss out on a time portal? Which happens a lot. You'd think...
Indeed.
I fucking made this joke before. It's like, you'd think like an impossible phenomenon, like a time portal appearing, would be so hard to...
Would be fairly unusual.
Yeah,
not he something finds, like, that he 10 finds of like them. Yeah, every other episode seemingly.
Yeah,
okay, that works for me too pretty well. So I guess as far as top knot goes, I'll say three times.
I will say four times.
Okay, and how many times do you think he's gonna miss out on a time portal?
I think he'll miss out on a portal twice.
Okay.
I think they're gonna consolidate the amount of portals. Last block there was like
last season
portals.
There were a ton. This season there weren't so many. Yeah, I guess I'll say one. I don't know.
Okay, that works for me. And if we come to like a real tie, we'll kill each other.
Yeah, if both of us are totally wrong on this somehow. We'll just end the podcast.
Yeah, that's there you go. Or we'll both We'll just pick the thing we want to watch the least.
So Hamtaro is what you're saying.
Yeah, or DBZ. Actually, next DBZ might be good.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's androids, not one continuous fight against Frieza. Anyway.
If we tie, we're watching Hamtaro. Oh, I like that. That's a good punishment.
Okay. You know what? I'll accept those terms. Please, for the love of God.
This is great.
Well, I really hope we don't watch Hamtaro, honestly. Like, I'm not even joking. I don't want to see that yep. show. Because that is the point where I was like, Toonami's for babies as a kid. that was the point where I was done with it. So I think we should probably sign off before I have too many flashbacks of the ham-hams. Next week, we will be watching the Fist of the North Star movie, as we teased quite a while ago. Because it's totally goofy, and hey, was it distributed by Streamline Productions? Of course it fucking was. So
yeah, you bet your ass.
So I can't wait to watch Kenshiro have a building fall on him and break over his head, and he just keeps walking because he's
are you
that
confusing
badass.
That for G Gundam?
No, that definitely happens in the Fist of the North Star movie. And G Gundam awesome. Is when Domon kicks a building into the air on foot, which really makes you wonder why they
not
need
as a
Gundams.
Gundam. Well, all right. Yeah. Then we'll get to watching this dumb gore fest, and we'll get back to you next week.
All right. Well, until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week for Fist of the North Star. Thanks for listening. If you want more of our content, follow us over at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter @HBpod, where we post all of our episodes, as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. There's also a great way to get in contact with us. If you want to share a Toonami memory or give us some weird show to watch, honestly, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, subscribing on iTunes is also a surefire way to stay up to date. And while you're there, consider leaving us a review. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Get ready for some Fist of the North Star.